Welcome to our special edition Meet the Candidates Forum on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. If you miss any of this program or would like to hear it again, you can listen on demand at RaccoonValleyRadio.com. The Raccoon Valley Radio Network news team will introduce you to the candidates and interview each of them coming up next on this special edition Meet the Candidates Forum on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.
Fall is here, and that means the kids are back in school. Discover today the many healthy options for those lunch boxes or the family meals around the table. Hi, I'm Amy with your Hometown Foods in Guthrie Center. It's no secret that kids who eat a well-balanced diet do better in school. Let us take the hassle out of grocery shopping. Stay close to home. Discover today how we're working harder to earn and keep your business at your locally owned Hometown Foods. Fast, friendly, and close to home. Hometown Foods. Guthrie Center, Panora, and Stewart.
What if the music stopped? If the familiar voices were silenced? If there were no breaking news updates? What if your companion and connection to your community came with a monthly fee? Don't worry, we're free local radio with you wherever you go. Celebrating 100 years and looking forward to the next 100. We are broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on your local TV and radio stations. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
During these unprecedented times, the New Homestead is continually working to keep their residents engaged, well cared for, and protected.
Despite mandated visiting limitations, residents have been able to enjoy our beautiful courtyard areas during their outside visits. And the activity department has worked extremely hard developing activities for our residents when large group events aren't possible. We are thankful for the abundance of family and community support that we've received. The thoughtful gestures have brought smiles to everyone's faces.
The New Homestead is providing kind, compassionate care close to home while giving families peace of mind that their loved one will be protected during their stay.
Representative Cindy Axne, you are the Democratic candidate running for re-election for Iowa's U.S. 3rd congressional seat. To start off, what accomplishments do you think you've had in your first term as representative?
Well, it's certainly been a first term, of course, starting out in a government shutdown and then moving right into the floods along the Missouri, and we're ending up now in a global pandemic. So I'll be honest, I'm very proud of the work that I've been able to get support from across the aisle these past 2 years to get some really important provisions signed into law for Iowa. First and foremost is flood relief. You know, when devastating floods came to Iowa, I fought to get $3 billion for Midwest flooding and change policy to cover uninsured grain in bins to make sure that our farmers could stay afloat. Certainly a couple of tax extenders that I was able to push through to lower the cost of health care, including the health care tax repeals that I was able to get through that secured the repeal of three different health care taxes on middle-class Iowans and their families. We got that removed. And then the biofuels tax extender. I helped revive this tax credit and extend the second-gen biofuel tax credit as well to support our critical industry that's been unfortunately under attack over the last couple of years. And then the USMCA worked very hard to push that with the House Working Group and the White House to reach a deal that helped us provide market stability for our farmers. So some very key pieces around healthcare and agriculture and making sure that people could recover after a major disaster. But in addition, I fought to get a lot of bills passed that would deliver results for Iowa. But unfortunately, these are sitting at the feet of the Senate because they haven't taken them up. You know, we passed legislation out of the House that I wrote to make healthcare more affordable, that lowers the cost of prescription drugs, and helps families save for childcare. I also fought for rural broadband expansion, an investment of $100 billion in our bill that would connect every single person in Iowa and make sure that we don't fall behind, whether it's our kids' education, telehealth, or economically. And I wrote bills to help rural entrepreneurs, to protect jobs from outsourcing, and to keep Iowans in their home during COVID-19. And finally, I stood up to my party to fight for what's right for Iowa.
Well, I'm sorry, it's a big question. 2 minutes doesn't really do it justice for what all's been going on in your first term. But what is your platform for re-election?
Well, Listen, I'm continuing to run because we need to make sure that we have somebody in Washington who's fighting for the issues in Iowa. And certainly with everything that we've seen from the derecho to the public health crisis we're in, we need to continue to respond to these crises, but also make sure that we address the issues that they've exposed. Protecting Iowans and their access to affordable health care, especially for our seniors and folks with pre-existing conditions, those who can't afford their prescription drugs. We've got to expand economic opportunity as that's taken a hit as a result of COVID, certainly in both rural and metro areas across the state. Looking out for everybody, small businesses, farmers, our workers, and of course we need to grow our economy. So we need to pass an infrastructure bill and many other pieces of legislation that will help us with that. So we've got a lot to do when it comes to this, and that includes making sure that we don't give more tax cuts to wealthy corporations and the richest among us, but making sure that middle-class families actually have a reasonable tax base for them, not just for the wealthiest. So we've got a lot to do in that capacity, as well as lowering the cost of prescription drugs and keeping our hospitals and rural health care open, because we have seen difficulty with that, and I've been fighting to make that happen. So, it's a big platform, Sam, but there's a lot to do both economically and with our health care, and certainly to bring connectivity to everyone. So I'm going to continue to be out here fighting for those issues.
And what do you think is the solution to our economic recession amid this COVID-19 pandemic?
We're not going to solve this economic crisis until we get a handle on COVID-19 and really stop the spread of this virus. This is a public health emergency first and foremost. We still have thousands of Iowans out of work. They're worried about being able to keep a roof over their head. Certainly, our schools, our health centers, our small businesses are on the front line of this. And recently, we've seen that Iowa's become a frequent entry in the national ranking of new COVID cases per capita. So that's not good. This crisis is not over. We need to make sure that we're addressing the healthcare aspect of that for families, workers, and small businesses so they can get through this safely. But it also means we need to pass a new COVID relief package out of Washington as soon as possible, something that I've been continuing to push for, a real package that can actually get done, one that both Republicans and Democrats can get behind, so we can get relief into the hands of families, so that we can make sure we shore up our healthcare providers, our hospitals and clinics, and so that we can support PPE for our schools, our children, and our teachers, and of course, make sure that we keep businesses open with things like our Restaurant Act, and things like my Rural Equal Aid Act that gives equal opportunity for rural businesses to have the same type of loan forgiveness as the PPP gave to other businesses. So there's a lot that needs to get done, and we've got to make sure that this package gets us through to the end of the year and keeps people whole and allows us to start putting some growth pieces back into place, like I mentioned, like bills like infrastructure to put people back to work in good pay.
What do you think of the Senate's push to appoint a new Supreme Court justice over passing another coronavirus stimulus package?
I think the priority should be with the people of America, keeping them healthy, safe, and putting our economy back in place. And so that should be the priority. I certainly wish, too, that we had been able to take some time to actually mourn Justice Ginsburg's life. She was a trailblazer. She cut a path for people like me to be able to pursue careers like this and challenge the status quo. So she'll be missed. But I would tell you, this rush to confirm a Supreme Court justice has highlighted the blatant examples of hypocrisy from our Senate Republicans. Sets a clear understanding of the rules that they would follow 4 years ago, only to do the exact opposite now. It's really no wonder that Iowans and Americans feel inclined not to trust politicians. You know, back in 2016, Chuck Grassley said, it only makes sense we defer to the American people who will elect a new president to select the next Supreme Court justice. And Joni Ernst said the same thing, that it was absolutely fair to expect Trump to go through this cycle without making a new court appointment. Now both senators are doing the exact opposite and pretending somehow that's consistent. We need leaders who are always going to be truthful, who aren't going to flip-flop on the issues, who are not going to do something that's better for their party but not good for our country. You can't just pick and choose when you want to put policy into place. So I want to make sure that, you know, we move forward in the right way, but I certainly don't appreciate the hypocrisy that we're seeing right now.
Well, to wrap up our interview, is there anything else you'd like to say to voters before Election Day?
Absolutely. 2 years ago, this campaign was all about health care. That's why I ran for it, because I thought our representation was voting against our interests. Votes were being taken to take away our health care, to privatize Medicare, to give tax breaks to the ultra-wealthy, and that just doesn't represent who we are and the values of Central and Southwest Iowa. So over the past 2 years, I've shown I'm independent. I'm a voice for Iowa that's willing to stand up to my party when they're doing things that are wrong for our state, and I work across the aisle to get things done. 75% of my votes in Congress were bipartisan. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce endorsed me and named me the most bipartisan member of Congress from Iowa. And I've been named the most accessible freshman member of Congress because I held almost 60 town halls in my first year of office, visiting every county every month. So I'm going to stand up and continue to fight in Congress for policies that protect Iowans, give us opportunity for health care, but also level the playing field for our families to help us get good jobs, protect our families, and strengthen our farming and producer industries. So I will be there to hold corporations accountable for shipping jobs overseas. I'm going to help invest in Iowa's infrastructure, support our small businesses and rural entrepreneurs, and absolutely support our middle-class families no matter what's going on in Washington.
Brian Jack Holder, you're the Libertarian candidate for U.S. House District 3 here in Iowa. To start off, would you like to share a bit of your background prior to running in this election?
Yes, I'm currently 47 years old. I grew up in the Council Bluffs area, been a lifelong resident of Pottawatomie County, graduated from St. Albert High School, Iowa Western Community College, Bellevue University in Bellevue, Nebraska, and then I earned a law degree at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. So I've been a photographer and a videographer most of my life. I started out in the family business as a child, helping my dad out. And so the last, I graduated law school in 98. So for the last 22 years, I've worked full-time in the family photography business. I do have a son who's 21 years old, and he's a senior in college right now at UNO. So, but I'm a single dad. So I know the struggles that single parents have to go through raising their family and working, and it's a challenge in today's society. But my son turned out okay. So,
what is your platform for election?
The main issue that I've been focusing on for the last 6 years is that we're underrepresented now in the U.S. House of Representatives. Less than 100 years ago, they capped the size of the House at 435 districts. And a century ago, Iowa had 11 congressional representatives, and now we only have four. And so even the third district here, our representatives, the former David Young, the Republican, and Cindy, each one established an office in Council Bluffs, an office in Creston, and an office in Des Moines. And I think that pretty much proves the case that we're underrepresented, that our representative has to have three separate offices here in the district. So my idea is to divide the district into three smaller ones. So we would actually vote for a representative to be in Council Bluffs and in to be in Creston and in Des Moines. And they've pretty much proved through the pandemic that our representatives don't need to go to Washington to vote on bills. You know, they can do their conference work, their committee work through Zoom and through the internet. They can vote remotely. And so it's sort of, you know, there's really no need for all of them to go to Washington. And because that's what leads to a lot of the problems, the corruption that we hear about, is that they go away to the swamp and then they get sort of taken in by it. So my main thing is dividing the district into smaller ones. So in an alternate reality, if I was elected, I would hire David and Cindy to work with all of us and to represent all of us. So.
And what do you think is the solution for the economic recession amid this COVID-19 pandemic?
Obviously, there have been great dislocations in our economy, dozens of millions of people out of work. The government's tried to handle this as best as they can by giving the stimulus to individual taxpayers for the Payroll Protection Act, and they've done some other things. But, you know, that $1,200, most of us use that up as soon as we got it to help pay for our bills. Even myself, I've been impacted by the pandemic as a photographer and a videographer. I filmed 100 basketball games last winter. Well, I was planning on filming 20 soccer matches in the spring. I have advertisers that pay me to produce this content, and I was unable to work just because they canceled the soccer season. But thankfully now I'm back filming again. I've filmed 4 high school football games and 4 volleyball matches in the last month. And most people are doing the social distancing properly. You have to wear a mask to attend the high school sporting events. And hopefully they come out with a vaccine that's safe and effective within the next year.
What do you think of the Senate's push to appoint a new Supreme Court justice versus passing another coronavirus stimulus package?
Well, I think our people that we elect to Congress ought to be talented enough to walk and chew gum at the same time. There's no reason they can't do both. You know, it's the both parties have sort of dragged themselves out on this Heroes Act that they want to pass to help us out some more. The Supreme Court appointment, you know, I remember the Republicans dragging their feet and not having a hearing for Merrick Garland after Justice Scalia passed away in 2016. And now they want to rush through an appointment. I think the Republicans are going to get her nomination done before the election just so that Trump can put another member on the Supreme Court. But I don't see the reason why they can't work on both issues at the same time. We're paying our U.S. representatives and our senators about $175,000 a year, and their job is to get these things taken care of. You know, it's not good to have a member missing from the Supreme Court when there's 9 of them, because that can lead to 4-4, you know, a log jam in the process. And, you know, they need to have that tie-breaking 9th vote. So,
well, to wrap up our interview, is there anything else you'd like to say to voters ahead of Election Day?
Yes, I'm just an average citizen. That I'm not an attorney, by the way, but I do have a law degree. But more of us need to get involved in running for local office, for state office, and for federal office. Because, you know, people are going to continue voting for the lesser of two evils unless they see there's a third choice that has to do with liberty and justice for all of us. So one last thing I will say is that this is the 4th time I've run and been on the ballot, and public TV is having a debate tonight with David and Cindy, but I'm not included in that debate. And so it's very difficult for a third-party candidate like myself to get more than single digits in the election just because of the fact you're not given the same equal opportunities to participate in forums and debates. But I thank you guys so much for letting me come here today and to speak with all the voters. So my name is Brian Jack Holder, and I'm the Libertarian candidate for Iowa's 3rd Congressional District. And I want everybody to get out there and vote safely, either before or on November 3rd.
David Young, you are the Republican candidate running for the U.S. congressional seat for Iowa's 3rd District. To start off, would you like to share a bit about your background prior to running for the seat this election?
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here. And I was born and raised and graduated, and my first jobs were here in Iowa's 3rd Congressional District. I was born and raised in Van Meter and graduated from Drake University. And before I ran for Congress in 2014 and was elected and reelected in 2016, I was honored to work for Iowa as Senator Chuck Grassley's chief of staff. And Van Meter is my home, and I'm a 7th generation Iowan.
What is your platform for election?
Well, we need effective leadership for Iowa right now. So much is happening right now coming out of with the pandemic going on, and trying to make sure that we get the economy stronger and back to where it was about 5 or 6 months ago, and even stronger than that. And so we need somebody who has experience, who understands the needs of Iowans, both in our rural areas and our more suburban and urban areas, and who has accomplishments in getting things done. And I, in my service in the 3rd District for 4 years, I never missed a vote. I worked across party lines to make sure that we delivered what was essential for Iowans, especially sitting on the House Appropriations Committee, making sure that rural Iowa did not get left behind. And you have to be strong, and you have to have a voice, and you have to be at the table, and that's how you get things done.
What do you think is the solution for the economic recession amid the COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, for those who had their feet knocked out from under them because of the pandemic, both health-wise and economically, we need to get this economy back to where it was 5 or 6 months ago. And that means we need to make sure that we have those business loans. I would turn them into grants and make sure that they're not having to be repaid, because the government came along and made these actions upon us by essentially almost closing the whole economy down. And with the government's actions doing that, I think the government needs to make sure that we here in Iowa in the 3rd District are rebuilt and made whole again. And so small businesses, some of our, the agricultural industries, our farmers, even our state and local governments, when they were affected in a way unlike any other way before, because of the government's actions, the government needs to make them whole again. And we need to make sure we keep taxes low. My opponent wants to repeal the tax relief from 2017, and that would raise taxes on Iowans, and we don't need that. We need to keep regulations low as well, and we need to have certainty that the playing field isn't going to change again, so people can make decisions, families, workers, small businesses, large employers, agriculture, so they know what the rules are 10 years ahead and not just guess 10 days ahead.
And what do you think of the Senate's push to appoint a new Supreme Court justice over passing a coronavirus stimulus package?
Well, I think they should be able to do both things, chew gum and walk at the same time on this. The passing of Justice Ginsburg, she was a real pioneer and a pretty incredible leader and way ahead of her time. And I appreciate her service, and our prayers are with her family. And the president has an obligation through the Constitution to appoint, and the Senate has an obligation to advise and consent. And so they have said that they're going to go forward with this. I think they should go forward. If it was a Democrat president and a Democrat Senate, I wouldn't argue that they shouldn't be doing the same thing. And we do have to make sure, though, that if there's another package for COVID-19 relief, and I think there should be, it should be really targeted to those small businesses that need the help, that need to get back on their feet. Some help with unemployment for our workers who are really struggling right now. They need that help. And also, with kids going back to school, making sure that protective equipment is there for kids and teachers, as well our healthcare workers who are on the front line, from our senior centers to our hospitals to our clinics, making sure that they have the protective equipment they need and the drugs and antibiotics they need to make sure that those who get COVID-19, and this is real. I know people who it's afflicted. I know somebody who it's killed. We need to make sure that we're taking care of them, taking the precautions that are needed, opening this economy up, getting Iowans back to work. We've got the best workers in the world. We just need to know what the playing field looks like and have some certainty, and also at the same time know that we are chasing those therapies, that vaccine, to make sure that we can take care of ourselves, wear the masks, take the precautions, do the social distancing, and hold China accountable so this can never happen again.
Well, to wrap up our interview, is there anything else you'd like to say to voters before Election Day?
Well, I just want voters to know that when I served them for 4 years in the United States House of Representatives, I showed up to work every day. For 4 years, I went to every county every month, and I never missed a vote on the floor of the House of Representatives or in the House Appropriations Committee. My opponent and I, we have a real contrast on this issue. The House passed a rule. My opponent voted for it to allow other members of Congress to vote for other members of Congress. And that's the first time in the history of our republic, in our state, where a member of Congress here has given Iowa's third district vote away to somebody else to cast. And when you hire somebody in Iowa, you expect them to show up. If they don't show up, you expect them to know where they were. And if they don't tell you where they were, which my opponent doesn't tell us where she was when she missed those votes, well, then it's time to find somebody else new. And I will always show up. If my opponent doesn't want to vote for this district, I will. And I'm asking for the vote on November 3rd.
We'll have more of the special edition Meet the Candidates in-depth news magazine after this on KKRF.
Bobby, what's with you all the time? And if you're ever without, you would die.
That's easy. Air.
Nope, your phone. Most people would die if they didn't have their phone.
Okay, but I still stand by my answer. Air. Phone is a close second.
Phone needs to be the correct answer to make this ad work. We're needing our customers to sign up and receive our weekly specials via email.
How do customers sign up?
You sign up at fairway.com or text SALE to 21661. That's SALE to 21661. It's that easy.
And you'll start receiving our great deals on your phone and via your email.
Just another way we're saving you money.
Air is still the better answer.
Be smart by local. Be smart by local. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Amy with Hometown Foods in Guthrie Center, encouraging you to keep local tax dollars in the local community. This money helps local schools, recreation centers, libraries, and emergency response services. Hometown Foods, along with Raccoon Valley Radio, encourages you to support the local community and be smart by local.
Be smart.
Welcome back to the special edition Meet the Candidates in-depth news magazine on KKRF. This is Sam McIntosh. We will now speak with the candidates running for Iowa Senate District 10. The interviews were done by Dallas County News Director Brandon Shanahan.
First, we chat with Republican incumbent Jake Chapman.
Can you tell me a little bit about yourself, background, experience, what people should know about you as a person?
Yeah, great. So I'm a lifelong resident of Senate District 10. My wife and I have five children and reside just north of Adel. I'm blessed to be able to work with my family on a daily basis as our family owns several businesses in the healthcare sector. Currently, I serve as the chief operating officer for one of those businesses. I'm also a certified EMT, and it's been an absolute honor for me to be able to serve the people of Iowa in this Senate district for the past two terms. Look forward to continuing to work on behalf of everyday Iowans.
And then if things do fall your way come November, what are some of your goals once you get back to Des Moines?
Yeah, I want to continue to build and accomplishments over the past 4 years. Notably, 4 years ago, we were facing a $113 million budget shortfall. And because of our policies that we enacted, doing what everyday Iowans do, we tightened our belt, balanced our budget. We took that shortfall and refilled our economic emergency funds, something I'm very proud of. Our emergency funds are completely full with nearly $800 million. Additionally, we are now looking at a substantial surplus of money when we return in January. Because of our prudent budgetary practices, Iowa was just recognized as having the most resilient budget to COVID in the entire country. We accomplished this while also passing the largest tax cut in Iowa's history. The net effect was an immediate 10% cut across the board, and additional cuts are automatically made as our budget increases. In addition to keeping our fiscal house in order and making sure Iowans can keep more of their hard-earned dollars, one of the areas of focus that I'll be focused on will be to defend, not defund, our law enforcement. These are the brave men and women who stand in that thin blue line between safety of our residents and total anarchy. While there are those who wish to defund our law enforcement, I'm proud to have increased the state patrol's budget to the tune of $2 million this year alone. Lawlessness, anarchy, intimidation of innocent bystanders, harming our law enforcement, destroying our historical statues, and blocking our roadways have no place in Iowa. Next year, I'll be focused on strengthening our laws to prevent this type of lawlessness.
And now, just like everything else, I'm sure campaigning has been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. Can you educate me on what the last few months have been like for you campaigning and just getting out and spreading your ideas?
Yeah, it has been a little bit different than what we've seen in the past. Typically, we would be doing a lot of face-to-face contact, and while we are still doing that this year, well, we are doing it in a responsible way of making sure we're providing some social distancing. Obviously, we've had to change some things up with doing virtual meetings instead of in person. But by and large, as I have been out there talking with Iowans, most Iowans feel comfortable with me at their door talking with them, providing that social distancing. So it has been a little bit different, but by and large, campaigning has been very similar to what we've done in the past.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell our listeners or anything else they should know about you or your ideas?
I just say, again, it's been an honor of a lifetime to represent the people in of Iowa in the Senate. And I think it would be wise for voters to consider the pre-COVID economy in Iowa. We have lowest unemployment rate in the nation. We had more job openings than people to fill them. Wages were rising and businesses were thriving. We accomplished that in less than 4 years. If given the opportunity, we will make Iowa's economy even bigger and better than ever before. I led the charge over the past 4 years, and I'll do it again. And I'm just humbly asking for your vote on November 3rd, or when you fill out your absentee request, please vote Jake Chapman.
And now we'll catch up with Democrat candidate Warren Varley. So let's just get started with this. First, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, some of your experience, and kind of what you bring to the table and what our listeners should know about Warren?
Well, thanks, Brandon. I appreciate you having me on. We need more local journalists. My name is Warren Varley. I'm running for Iowa Senate, Senate District 10. I'm a fifth-generation Iowa farmer and cattleman. My wife, Karen, and I live and work on the Adair and Guthrie County farm where I grew up and where we raised our four children, Ben, Gwen, Lena, and Millie. My wife and I are also lawyers working in the Stewart Law Firm I founded back in 1992. A friend of mine, Republican Adair County Supervisor Matt Wiedemeyer, and other people, say I have a passion for rural development, and he knows because he and I work together on the Midwest Partnership Economic Development Board. Indeed, I'm very proud of the businesses and nonprofits that I've had a hand in fostering. One of those projects was restoring the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart after an arsonist nearly succeeded in destroying the beautiful structural testament to the community that it was. It was a challenge, and for a time it divided the community. But in the end, by coming together as a community, we were able to rescue this historic treasure. I want to bring my skills as a problem solver and a mediator to the Iowa legislature, where we have too many partisan bomb throwers, which doesn't accomplish anything. Community, compassion, and common ground, those are the keys.
And now, say the chips fall your way come election time. What are some of your goals, and what are you going to be looking to change once you get to Des Moines?
Well, public education is probably the most important thing state government does. It's the key to our future. When Karen and I finished school, we wanted to raise our children in Iowa, in part because we have the best schools in the country. But that's threatened now. We have school districts that can't even get one qualified applicant to fill important teaching positions. My nephew Colin is a newly minted teacher, and he's only looking at Minnesota and Texas because Iowa teaching positions just aren't attractive. We have to give teachers back their full collective bargaining rights, and we have to fund education at a level that catches up with inflation. And we have to use public funds for public schools if we want to stay competitive and prosperous on the world stage. My opponent wants to defund public schools, and that would destroy these important local pillars of the community. Iowa's economy is also a top concern for me. We've been underperforming of late. Education research are a top factor, but infrastructure is number two. And first and foremost in the infrastructure category is the need for fast, affordable, reliable internet access. I've worked with local cooperative and mutual phone companies who already do an excellent job of delivering high-speed internet, even in very rural areas. And I believe there's a lot we can do to give consumers better options. We also need to give attention to transportation infrastructure and our energy grid. The derecho sure made that clear. Finally, I want to maintain Iowa's high quality of life. First and foremost, that means quality, affordable, accessible health care throughout the state. And when we're talking about health care, we can't forget about mental health. That's mental health care provision has gotten short shrift for too long. But by shifting the burden away from property taxes, we can address that. There are many more goals I have, and I would just refer listeners to my website, voteforvarley.com. Ultimately, my goal is good government. That's everybody working together for common goals.
And now the COVID-19 pandemic has affected just about every part of every one of our lives. Can you kind of take me behind the scenes on what campaigning has been like over the last couple of months and how you've had to adjust and kind of some of the ways that you've met this challenge?
Well, COVID-19 has been a huge adjustment for almost everyone. I heard that the University of Iowa Hospitals is hiring extra staff, running out of beds, and unable to take patients that smaller hospitals would like to transfer. So I think public figures, including candidates like myself, need to set a good example and do what they can to slow the spread. The only way we can get ahead of this is to take measures now before flu season when things could get much worse. So we can't go door knock or have large gatherings like we normally would. I make phone calls and leave a lot of messages because folks are so sick of unsolicited calls, and we need to do something about that. I leave door hangers on people's doors, and I hold a lot of Zoom meetings. I'm holding one on gun rights on September 24. Zoom meetings really make it clear that many people do not have adequate internet service, and some people miss out altogether. With the importance of internet for school and work, especially in the age of COVID, we really have to get that fixed.
Well, Warren, I appreciate you taking the time and speaking with us this evening. Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
Well, first of all, thanks again for having me on. I think you're doing a real service to democracy here and believe in the power and importance of free press. I guess I would wrap up by saying that my father, Andrew Varley, served this area in the Iowa legislature for 12 years. He set the example for service to the community that I follow today. I love Iowa and have great hopes and dreams for her future. I'm thrilled that my youngest daughter wants to come back to the farm and raise her family here. I know that stepping up above partisan bickering by engaging in civil conversations, we can come together as a community to find common ground where we can address the challenges that face us. My name is Warren Varley, and that's why I'm running for the Iowa Senate to be your senator in Senate District 10, which is Adair and Guthrie counties, most of Dallas County, and parts of Polk and Cass counties. I would appreciate your vote. Just remember, vote Varley.
We'll have more of the special edition Meet the Candidates in-depth news magazine after this on KKRF. Welcome back to the special edition Meet the Candidates in-depth news magazine on KKRF. This is Sam McIntosh. We will speak with the candidates running for Iowa House District 20. Ryan Morrison, you are the Democratic candidate for the State House District 20 seat that covers Adair, Guthrie, and portions of Dallas and Cass counties. To start off, would you like to share a bit about your personal and professional background?
Sure. I got interested in politics around the 2012 time. I was living in Virginia at the time. I'm originally from here, but I was living in Virginia, and I started having a number of health problems, and that led to fighting insurance companies trying to get it taken care of and getting the test I needed to determine what was causing the problems. So after navigating the insurance world on that level, I started to realize that there was a real problem with the medical and industry. And so I really started to get active volunteering on, I did the Terry McAuliffe campaign in Virginia. In 2014, I moved back because my health continued to decline. So I ended up going up to Rochester, and they have a little bit different policy. And so I was able to get the tests I needed that determined my spinal cord was being pinched. And so I had to have spinal surgery, and it was a big ordeal. And so with myself and my father and my sister battling these medical field has been just an absolute nightmare. So that's really what got me interested in politics, wanting to change the industry and make things better for families. On the professional front, I own the Country Kitchen here in town, and I do real estate and stuff like that, so I'm pretty active in the community.
With that, you already mentioned a little bit, but would you like to mention any other sort of office, bureaucratic, or volunteering experience you may have?
Like I said, the Terry McAuliffe campaign, I did phone calls for Obama, second term, did some door knocking for other candidates. Mostly it's been like community organizations, like I'm Stewart Chamber president, volunteer on different economic development boards and things like that around here. I've been pretty active in like the parties as far as being like delegates and stuff like that through the primary process. So,
why are you running for State House District 20?
I think there's been a I really feel like there hasn't been enough attention paid to our rural communities. As a business owner who's constantly looking for help, there's a real housing crisis in rural communities. There's just not enough housing to support the workers we need to really grow these communities. That's why a lot of rural Iowa is dying out. Like it's not cost effective to go in there and build properties and have the value as an investor, but there's just no low-income housing in any of these communities. So that means businesses can't go there either because they can't find employees. So that's one area in which I really want to address. The other area is, or some of the other areas would be, there's a real crisis with our farmers as well. They're struggling to make our ends meet with these family-owned farms. They just the prices aren't there. The factory farms have negotiated prices and are guaranteed to sell their stuff, but family farms aren't, and they can't sell their cattle right now. Corn prices are low. Like, they're struggling, and we need to support our family farms because they keep their money here in Iowa. They keep the engine going, so to speak. So obviously I'm worried about schools, rural schools dying out, not having the funding they need to continue. So there's a lot of issues in our rural communities I'd like to address.
And that kind of blends right into my next question of what priorities you would have as representative.
Yes, like I said, schools... I think there are a number of things that need addressed. Like I said, the rural housing, education, healthcare, infrastructure. As far as like infrastructure, as far as like broadband internet. This COVID mess has really shown us that it's important to have internet access for our rural communities. So it's just taking too long for a lot of our rural areas to get internet access, which is crazy in this day and age. So Iowa's ranked one of the worst for failing infrastructure as far as bridges and roads. So we really need to address some of these issues and quit sitting on the sidelines and hoping it'll fix itself. So,
well, to wrap up our interview, is there anything else you'd like to say before voters heading into this election?
I would say whoever you decide to support, get to know what those people want to address and how effective they are and what they're willing to do, because too often you get stuck with the letter next to the name and not necessarily what the person is about and what they want to accomplish. So I would say just not just in my election, but in every election, be informed and know what you're getting into and who you're supporting.
Ray Sorensen, you are running for re-election for the Iowa House District 20 seat that represents Adair, Guthrie, portion of Cass, and also a portion of Dallas counties. So would you like to share a bit of your personal and professional background?
Sure. So first, my name is Ray Sorensen. Most people would know me better as Bubba. I was raised in Fontenelle and currently live in Greenfield. I'm the artist of the Freedom Rock north of Greenfield on Highway 25. I married Maria Galanakis in 2007, and we have two children, Independence and Michael. We started our small business, Sorensen Studios, in 2008. Our studio focuses on mural painting and wedding and family pics. We started the Freedom Rock Tour in 2013, and we've been touring the state and country painting smaller versions of the original Freedom Rock ever since.
You've served one term as representative, so are there any accomplishments you think you'd like to share from that first term?
Sure. First, I'm the only freshman legislator that was appointed to chair a committee. From my work on the Appropriations Committee, I was selected to chair the Economic Development Sub-Appropriation Committee. And, you know, I've also been known as the broadband representative. In my first term, I hit the ground running and I've been pushing for incentives for telecoms to finish connecting those middle mile and last mile issues, you know, to kind of fill in the gaps of broadband connectivity. As far as other big accomplishments, workforce, like investing in community colleges, moving forward with Future Ready Iowa initiatives and addressing childcare, broadband, and other housing issues. There was a SAVE extension that we passed, so schools have the resources to update aging infrastructure and make schools safe. And then, of course, children's mental health reform, which we're not quite done with that. We need to find a funding mechanism for that, and we're still working on that.
Why are you running for re-election?
You know, to continue to be the voice of the people of Adair, Guthrie, portions of Dallas, and portions of Cass. There's still things that need to be done. Schools, making sure rural schools have the resources they need to continue to operate and remain open. Healthcare, making it affordable and accessible, and you know, particularly rural hospitals. They're obviously in critical need to stay running, and we need to focus on making sure they have what they need to stay open. You know, our workforce, getting Iowans the skills they need for the 21st century careers. And then, of course, I loved being on appropriations because we could focus on responsible budgeting, making sure the state spends less than it takes in, and still investing in our priorities like K-12 education and community colleges and public safety and so on. So,
just kind of stemming off of that, would you like to share more of what you hope to accomplish if elected to another term?
Sure. Yeah. Focusing on child care legislation. That's a big focus for not only me, but our entire caucus. You know, reducing the cost for families, increasing access to providers, incentivizing employers to offer daycare to employees, and addressing the cliff effect. You know, so when people come off of that assistance, there's not just a cliff where it's, you know, not an incentive to, you know, take that raise. Rather, it's a stair step off so they can take that raise and continue to get a little bit of assistance. You know, I've always thought government needs to be more of a hand up rather than a handout, and I think that's a good way to illustrate that and to do that and really help families out.
Wrapping up our interview, is there anything else you'd like to say to voters before Election Day?
Yeah, sure. I'm running to be your voice at the Capitol. The seat that I hold is not my seat. It's the people's seat. And so my goal is to represent my neighbors, friends, and family with the honesty and integrity that they deserve. And I want to thank everyone for their support, and I would like to ask for their vote again. And I really appreciate the opportunity to serve them at the State House. And for more information, you can go to votebubba.com.
We'll have more of the special edition Meet the Candidates in-depth news magazine after this on KKRF. Welcome back to the special edition Meet the Candidates in-depth news magazine on KKRF. This is Sam McIntosh. We will speak with the candidates running for Guthrie County Supervisor, District 5. Eric Tiernan, you are running for the District 5 Supervisor seat on the Guthrie County Board of Supervisors. Would you like to share a bit about yourself and your professional background?
Sure. Most people know me anyway, but currently, I'm a licensed insurance agent and have an agency here in town. I've been there for 20 years. I'm also a licensed real estate agent and co-own Stewart Realty with my wife. That's kind of what I've been doing the last 20 years. Before that, I was a certified agronomist and manager of the co-op here in town. I did that for 10 years and farmed before that. So that's pretty much my professional background. A little bit about myself. I grew up on a dairy farm south of town, been here since 1961. Moved into Stewart, I believe it was in the early 90s, and I still live on the edge of town, on the east side of town now. So I farmed for a few years, and that wasn't working back in the 80s. And so in the early 90s, I took the job at the elevator, and then after that, was in the insurance business. So that's where I've been.
Have you held any office before or have any volunteering experience?
Yeah. Back in the 80s, I was elected to the school board, the Stewart Mental School Board back then. And so I served there for 3 years. In the 90s, I was elected as a city council member here in Stewart. And I actually served with Everett Grasty, so I worked with Everett before. It's when a lot of our TIF projects really got started and kind of rolled from there. I have been a 4-H leader. I've been a Cub Scout leader. I've been a Little League and a soccer coach. I was vice president of Adair County Farm Bureau back in the day, a long time ago. So, yeah, I've done a lot of positions and volunteer projects, and yeah.
Why did you decide to run for the Supervisor District 5 seat?
Well, it's something that some people urged me to do it 4 years ago. I had thought about it over the years, but back then it wasn't really time for me. Now I'm older, just 4 years older, but I'm getting there. I think it would work now. And then I got to thinking, you know, I've spent 30 years doing business with all the people in my district, either the farmers, mostly the farmers, and a lot of the people in the communities, and feel like they allowed me to work in my hometown and make a good living here. So maybe this is some, you might call it giving back to represent them as a supervisor and represent them well.
If elected, are there certain issues or areas you'd like to focus on?
Not particularly. I don't have any axes to grind or grudges or anything like that. I just think that the area here could be represented better. We are going to have to really work on roads and bridges because this farm equipment's getting so large and farmers are getting larger, and I don't know if the county's been able to keep up with all that, and they need their way to market. And I also want to work on try to bring industry to the county and employment, because if you don't have employment, people aren't going to live here, and help our communities grow in that respect. So I can use my experience in that sort of thing and try to grow the population, grow the industry, and get things rolling.
So to wrap up our conversation, is there anything else you'd like to say to voters ahead of Election Day?
Just mainly go out and vote. My dad fought in World War II, and that was always his thing. It was for the right to vote, and that's more important than anything we have. But I would definitely want to represent this district, and I work hard. I've worked hard all my life, and I'm not going to slow down now. And I'll probably back off on the insurance a little bit to have more time to spend with this and do everybody a good job.
Mike Dixon, you are running for re-election to the Guthrie County Board of Supervisors District 5 seat. To start off, would you like to share a bit about yourself and your professional background?
Yeah, first I'd like to say thank you for inviting me here to talk a little about myself and the board position District 5 that I'm running for. My name is Mike Dixon. I've lived in the Stuart and Menlo areas my entire life. I am married with five kids. My brother and I run a family farm which consists of raising corn, soybeans, and cattle. I co-own and operate M&T Bin Equipment, which consists of selling, servicing, and constructing grain bins and grain bin accessories. Much of my professional background comes from real-life scenarios. For example, operating a farm and business and keeping a balanced budget is paramount to continue operating profitably. Also, working on constructive solutions to problems and solving problems on the fly help to keep those businesses successful. Farming and building bins, I have gained a lot of knowledge pertaining to construction. This comes in very useful when the county is building, whether that be a new bridge, road culvert, new pavement, or the law enforcement center addition. Additionally, I have gained an immense amount of experience over the past 12 years as supervisor of District 5. The main task of this position is the county budget. When you receive your property tax statement, the supervisors set the levy rate on general basic, rural services, and general supplemental based on revenue and expenditures. The county budget requires constant oversight based on its changing needs and is an integral part to it running as efficiently as possible. I read and monitor the budget very diligently, making sure we work within our means. The board acts as a general business manager for the county government that establishes policies to protect and account for taxpayer monies. Lastly, as a supervisor, I've gained experience pertaining to the oversight of the county's various departments, their spending, and their adherence to policies and procedural safeguards that protect taxpayer money.
Prior to serving as a supervisor, have you held any other office, or would you like to share any other sort of organizational volunteering experience?
Yeah, I have a lot of volunteering experience in the community over the years. I've coached various youth sports programs, and I'm currently coaching WCV U10 girls soccer. Along with my wife and kids, we volunteer frequently within the church, our communities, and with helping neighbors. We donate to the local fire department, local food banks, 4-H premiums, libraries, and parks and rec organizations. My wife and I instill into our children what it means to be of service to others with helping people and not expecting anything in return. It is important to us to set an example of not only being generous, but giving of our time as well.
And so why did you decide to run again for the Supervisor District 5 seat?
I want to ensure Guthrie County remains affordable to all its residents. I live here and run a business here. My sweat equity is into everything I do, and I understand the many struggles families go through financially. Many residents of District 5 are families that have lived in the area for many generations. There also are many who have left the area and are returning to raise their families here. Keeping property taxes low are paramount to attracting those individuals back to our communities and also attracting new families to the area. There are many who have recently experienced higher utility bills and local taxes. It is great to attract new families to the area, but not on the backs of those currently living here. When you lose family as fast as you gain, you are never gaining anything. I believe I've done an exceptional job in keeping those property taxes low. I would like to continue to keep working to keep District 5 affordable, safe, and beautiful.
If elected, are there certain issues or areas, you know, you want to continue your focus on?
Yeah. Currently, I've spent numerous hours reviewing documents on the public voted law enforcement center addition. I would like to see that project through. I spent many hours talking with contractors, construction managers, architects, and engineers, working very hard to keep this project on budget. I would like to continue to work on road projects. Since the hire of our current engineer, we have worked to find cost-effective alternatives to many road projects. In many areas of the county, road culverts have not lasted their full life, and after doing water tests, we have switched to heavy gauge steel on those culverts. Cost-saving measures include removing bridges where possible and replacing with culverts. We have found a grout guy that now repairs concrete culverts instead of replacing them when possible, repair them to many more years of use. We have recently restructured the management at the roads department and are now tackling more projects ourselves instead of contracting out, which we will save the county a considerable amount of money. With this restructuring, we have put an emphasis on roadside tree clearing. This is a long-term plan that I definitely want to focus on. Hiring our own IT director is and will continue to save the county thousands of dollars. Technology is continually changing in the county, now having an IT director is keeping the county up to date on those changes. With the recent ransomware attacks and many phishing attacks, keeping up-to-date detection and security is possible for the county now. Another project the IT director will be starting is an integrated phone system for the courthouse. As an advocate for reducing costs, I would like to see this project come to fruition. I would like to continue to focus on the efforts of economic development. However, I want to approach it as an investment into our community as a whole. I don't believe in handing out incentives that only benefit a select base. Economic development needs to be approached as targeted activities and programs that improve the quality and well-being of the community by helping to create jobs and increasing our tax base.
All right, and I'm sorry if you have more, I'll have to cut you off there with our two-minute limit. So to wrap up our conversation, is there anything else you'd like to say to voters ahead of Election Day?
I'm a supporter of our military and veterans, and District 5 has great representation on the county's Veterans Affairs Commission with Steve James. I'm fiscally conservative and believe in advocating for low taxes and minimal government debt. As a supervisor, I have seen many items proposed in the county in the name of economic development. Several of those proposals would only benefit a fortunate few. Although we as a county should strive to draw new residents and create more job opportunities, the goal should not be used to bait taxpayers into accepting higher taxes and offering incentives to special interests. I won't let the hardworking citizens of Guthrie County foot the bill so the rich can get richer. Taxpayers should not shoulder the cost so a few behind-the-scenes citizens can create opportunities and a financial windfall for themselves and their associates. I have no other agenda for this position other than to serve the people. As I spoke about earlier, with now having a county IT director, I initiated live streaming board meetings, and we are now live on Ring Central. I believe in being open and transparent, and this is just one way to help achieve that belief. If reelected, it is my continued promise to the residents of District 5 to represent their needs, interests, ethically, honestly, and to the very best of my ability, as my record has shown. If you have any questions or would like to reach me, I can be reached at 515-689-9088, or my email is mdixon7970@gmail.com.
We'll have more of the special edition Meet the Candidates in-depth news magazine after this on KKRF. Welcome back to the special edition Meet the Candidates in-depth news magazine on KKRF. This is Sam McIntosh. We will speak with the candidates running for Guthrie County Auditor.
Hans Erickson, you are running for the Guthrie County Auditor in this November election. To start off, would you like to share a bit about yourself, your professional background, and any volunteering experience, and basically anything else you'd like to share about yourself?
Absolutely. Well, you know, when I did my undergrad, I've always had politics in mind, or I've always had public service in mind. I was a legal intern. I've been an intern of the State Senate research staff. And then when I did my master's degree at Drake as well, I clerked for a state senator, and then I ran for the Iowa House. You know, I've always worked at making sure my public acumen was out there. I've always taken jobs in which I can be involved in the community. Recently, I've worked as a deputy finance director for a Senate campaign, and then I managed a congressional campaign. However, overarching that, I've always been involved in insurance. I guess but politics has always been my passion. As far as volunteering, I've volunteered for the Broadlands Mental Health Services, as well as it was a capital campaign, as well as a public awareness campaign, and then I've been involved with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation of Iowa. I've also been on committees for various political campaigns in Guthrie County, as well as the Guthrie County Democrats. As far as hobbies, you know, I've lived here at the lake since 2011, and, you know, anything on the water is just absolutely amazing. This has been my happy place, and I, even in the wintertime, I think it's gorgeous, so.
So, why did you decide to run for county auditor?
Well, this is when I did my master's of public administration. I chose to do my concentration in public policy. Insurance has always been my passion and drive, but however, service has always been where I find my purpose. So, you know, I want to make sure government's accountable. I want to watch over taxpayer dollars and keep our elections secure.
And so, if elected, are there certain issues or areas you'd want to focus on?
Absolutely. Voting is the expression of democracy, and I want to do everything I can to increase voter turnout in Guthrie County, and that just means providing access to all eligible voters and making sure that the voting process is secure as possible.
How do you feel you're qualified to be the quote-unquote keeper of the county, handling all the responsibilities of a county auditor?
Of course. Well, you know, I have a very strong background in private industry as well as public policy. I know a way around the balance sheet, and from my experience in public business or in private business, and my master's, I've extensively studied nonprofit accounting. I've also have strong leadership experiences, both in public and private, and I know how to balance the balance sheet works, and I know how to cut the red tape and make sure everything's working for the residents of Guthrie County.
All right. Well, to wrap up our interview, is there anything else you'd like to say to voters ahead of Election Day?
Well, absolutely. You know, this really should be a nonpartisan election, and I will always treat this as a nonpartisan office. Only beholden to the residents of Guthrie County. I'll try to be as easily accessible as I possibly can be. You know, I'm here to serve, and that's all I can be. But in order to get there, I need your support, and I need your vote, and that's it.
Danny Fink, you are running for election for Guthrie County Auditor. To start off, would you like to share a bit about yourself, your professional background, and if you have any volunteering experience or other hobbies and interests?
Yeah, thanks, Sam. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today. I grew up on a farm outside of Waukee, and I've lived in rural Guthrie County for 5 years with my boyfriend, Jeremy. Before that, we lived in Linden, so in total, I've been a part of the community for 11 years. I'm a proud dog mom to Ella and Rip, and I enjoy spending time with our family and friends. While being in Guthrie County, I've served as an officer on Panorama Booster Club, and I also sat on the Board of Trustees for Guthrie County Hospital and Clinic. In 2017, I was hired as deputy auditor. My primary duties were elections and accounts payable. Earlier this year, when the former Guthrie County auditor stepped down, the Guthrie County Board of Supervisors voted unanimously for me to take over the position, and now I'm serving as your Guthrie County auditor.
After being appointed to serve as county auditor earlier this year by the Board of Supervisors, why did you decide to run in this November election?
I actually had decided to run in the primary in June. So I decided to run prior to ever being appointed by the Board of Supervisors. While I was deputy, my goal was always to become county auditor. So I chose to run in the primary earlier this spring because I saw a need for more structure within the office. The county auditor serves so many people, and I know that's something I can do because I'm doing the job now, and I was in the office prior doing the job then.
So if you are elected, are there certain issues or areas you'd like to focus on?
You know, this is a really good question. I'm in the office every day, so I have a unique perspective on this topic. There's definitely a lot of processes, and that's one of the things that we're working on now. Our main goal is just to make working with the auditor's office as user-friendly for the residents of Guthrie County as we can. Obviously, elections are and always will be a main focal point of mine, so continuing the positive working relationship that I've already developed with the state is really key.
how do you feel you're qualified to be the keeper of the county, so to speak, handling all the responsibilities as the county auditor?
I've had the basics built in over the last 3 years being in the office. I know how to do this job, and I've already accomplished some of the most important tasks in my 5 months as auditor. From certifying the budget and entering the property tax levies, and then right now I'm in the middle of completing our state audit, all while managing the general election. Obviously, I've always been deep in elections in my 3 years in the office, but I had less than a month from the time of being appointed on May 12th to the primary on June 2nd to shoulder the entire primary election. And from everyone that I've talked to, they all say that it went off without a hitch. The job of the county auditor is about managing relationships and multitasking and being accountable to the residents of Guthrie County.
To wrap up our interview, is there anything else you'd like to say to voters ahead of Election Day?
You know, it's hard to answer this question without putting on my auditor hat because I want everyone to get out and vote. But for me and my campaign, I want voters to know that I am qualified to do the job. I've proven that I want to do the job. Guthrie County is my home, and I truly believe in Guthrie County first. I would appreciate your vote.
You've been listening to the special edition Meet the Candidates Forum on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network. If you missed any of this program or would like to hear it a second time, you can listen on demand at raccoonvalleyradio.com 24/7, 365 at your convenience. The Raccoon Valley Radio Network news team, proud to be the one to count on for today's local news and information on the air and online as well at raccoonvalleyradio.com.